We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. Now here's your program.
This is Focus, Hour Number 2. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producer is Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Jason Croft is at the controls. Just real quick, let me just mention that we have had some serious weather moving through the area this morning, and we're expecting it'll probably be around throughout the afternoon. We do have a severe thunderstorm watch that remains in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon, and two counties in our severe weather coverage area are included. That's Coles and Moultrie. Also, there is a flash flood warning that's in effect for Macon County until 4:30 this afternoon. There may be more watches and warnings added to this. When we get that information, we'll bring it to you. Otherwise, next time we'll try to spend a little time on the weather. We'll be as part of the afternoon magazine later on today. In this hour of Focus, we've set aside some time for listeners, viewers to call in with questions, make comments about the programs that we broadcast, things that we have on radio, television, things that we have on our website. We are now coming down to the end of the fiscal year, as you know, so maybe people would like to hear a little bit about the budget situation. We can talk about that. But really, this is an opportunity for people to call in, ask questions, make comments. If there are things you like, things you don't, we always want to hear about those. And here, as our guests, we have our general manager for Illinois Public Media, Mark Leonard, and Jay Pierce, who is the director of created content for Illinois Public Media. So we're wide open here. Whatever's on your mind, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And you may also send your emails along to will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, thank you both very much for being here. We appreciate it. People who listen, obviously, they've been hearing us now for the past couple of weeks. We're reminding folks that we're coming to the end of the fiscal year. We're raising the money for next year's programs. We've set some goals that we hope to meet. So we're slowly, very slowly chipping away at that amount of money that we want to have. Anything in particular that you want to talk about, you want to say about the budget situation, where we are right now?
Well, we came from a meeting a little while ago, and I think the latest figure we have is that we have $215,000 left to raise in this fiscal year. And, you know, you never know. I mean, that's a big number, always a big number. But we do have a radio drive that starts this Thursday, and we have cautious optimism that with the help of our listeners that we will be able to close that gap successfully and close this fiscal year with a balanced budget and have those dollars ready to invest in next year's programs.
Okay. Anything you want to add?
Well, I second that. I mean, it's basically the goal is to be able to program the radio stations and the television station and the online service as best we can. We are within the fiscal constraints of the support that we get from whatever source. And as opposed to a lot of agencies that are dealing with a loss of state funding, as we have, and instability in other sources of funding, we have on the radio side, and in particular, had listeners who have come through and said, you know what? Yeah, I appreciate the fact that I can't write the whole check and solve all your problems, but, you know, here I can do my part. And when we come together like that, we can really, you know, make a difference. And that $215,000 that we're away does seem like an insurmountable task, but we have done it before. And we do have this pledge drive that'll start Thursday morning. It'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, and then a couple of hours for Media Matters on Sunday afternoon. And again, it's, you know, it is a chance for you to come in and do a little bit. And when we all come together, I think history has dictated we've done some pretty good things.
Yeah. Well, Jay gets started, and it sounds like a pledge pitch, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
it's all too easy to go into pledge mode. It's just like flipping a switch for all of us here. You know, you've only done it 1,000 times.
When people see me coming in a restaurant or a bar, they
just
run
turn
the
around
other,
and go the other way.
Go.
All right, let's talk with some folks here. We'll start out with someone in Champaign. This is line one. Hello.
Yes. Good morning. Mm-hmm. My admiration to all you folks for being able to deal with pledge drives. The listeners sometimes get tired of it, but I often think about how you folks must dream about doing pledge drives. And
244-9455.
Yes.
Don't get him started.
what I'm calling about this morning is, well, we've got some heavy weather with us right now outside, and we had some last night, and that refreshed my memory about something I've been meaning to inquire about for quite a long time. Do you or have you polled your listenership about doing weather interruptions during bad weather?
By that, you mean polled them as to whether we should be doing weather interruptions?
Yes.
I wouldn't say polled. I think we have gotten comments from time to time. Anecdotally, I think we hear that people appreciate being kept up to date because we are in an area that does have some pretty dangerous weather. Although I think we always try to balance, the public safety issue with the interruption to listeners. And I know, Jay, we just recently mm-hmm. you changed some of our severe weather coverage areas to try to mm-hmm. eliminate the ones that are perhaps not within our coverage area.
Right. The areas that were hard to hear us at night, like over in Sangamon County and Christian County and Livingston County and some of the others on the periphery way down in Cumberland County, which had been triggering alerts on our station that weren't really in areas that you could hear us on the AM station at night. You can hear the AM during the day, but you couldn't hear them at night when most of the severe weather is, and you can't hear the FM station there. So we eliminated those, and that should be taking some of the interruptions out that aren't pertinent to the core area. One of the things just in let me see if you have a follow-up first. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask about that?
Yes, I mean... I wanted to report, and my personal situation and mm-hmm. also to raise some general questions. For instance, last night, there were quite a few interruptions during the 9 to 11 time.
Right.
And I guess one thing I want to say is that it seems to me that if there's more than about one interruption every half hour in continuing shows, that is self-defeating.
Mm-hmm.
In a show like this, if there's an interruption, you can just stop the show and then start it up again when that interruption is over. But when it's a continuing show, if it's interrupted two or three times in a half hour, the reason for listening in the first place, unless somebody is listening just for the weather, it's so defeating that you give up and do something else. You need to turn off
sure.
the radio.
Sure.
And it seems to me that in this day and age, when for about $30 you can buy a weather radio that will sit there and say nothing until there's something that is important for your particular area, and then it will turn itself on and alert you that the kind of thing that is being done on WILL because of old tradition may be totally obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to raise the question of whether everything except perhaps a tornado warning, perhaps that's worth 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But the interruptions that sometimes go on for 2 or 3 minutes
mm-hmm.
In the middle of continuing shows is something which, as I say, I strongly question because it tends to defeat its own purpose. It fails, I think, even on its own terms because people just turn off the radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, and we need to know things like that. See, I look at it from a perspective. Last night, I scanned the dial to hear what stations were doing any coverage, and I know that we had tornadoes near Rankin that were confirmed on the ground, which is just a county away, and over in Vermilion County in the Hoopston area and also the Rossville areas. And the Hoopston radio station was off the air. The powerful FM station out of Danville, well, there are two of them, and neither one of them were seemingly following this, other than the emergency alert system breaking in once. But if you didn't happen to be tuned in at that time, I went for a 20-minute period and heard nothing on either of those stations. And our station, 90.9 FM, was the only station I was getting fairly regular updates on. And
maybe that should be telling you something.
Well, it's either telling me that we're the only ones providing a service to people who are, for instance, in your car, you don't have a weather radio, or if you're somewhere where you're not at home. I don't know. It's hard, and I appreciate your comments, too. I see both sides of the coin.
It's probably a way to accommodate it in part because you have the HD channels now.
Well, There certainly is thought.
I think it's safe to say that we do review our severe weather policy on an ongoing active basis. And I think that what we're trying to do is that balance between the public safety issue and the annoyance factor, because we do have so many watches in this area and we do cover such a large area. So I think we're sensitive to it, but I don't think we're going to drop our commitment to public safety.
No. What we have done, and we're going to continue to refine this, is we've trimmed the number of different things we'll interrupt for. We've taken 7 counties, I think, in our latest thing out, so we're down to 11 counties that we cover now. So there should be fewer interruptions. It should only be every half hour or in natural breaks in programming or as close as we can come to them that we do the updates now, except in the case that a new warning is issued for a severe thunderstorm or a tornado.
Yeah, the tornado warnings, I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for your input, because, you know, obviously if we're going on and people are turning radios off and not listening to it, we need to know how people are, you know, responding to it.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Let's go to someone in Indiana. Line 4. Hello.
Hi. A couple footnotes on all this. You've been going in and out. I presume it's lightning strikes. It's almost like the engineer is turning it power all the way down, and 3 or 4 seconds later he turns it on. In that period between the turn down and the turn on, not a true static, but it's a noise that people probably identify as electrical. Mm-hmm. My question is rather speculative, and unfortunately, I wasn't around when you switched over to the new formats and dropped people, added this and did that. The speculation part is this: that's, I'm going to call it a coefficient of smoothness. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you did on the decisions you made? Who to drop? Who not to drop? What to do, what to extend, what not to extend. What kind of feedback have you had on that? I've been through this in the business world, and it's usually very, very, very positive. I just wondered how your situation ran. Thank you.
Boy, that's a tough question. I would say it was not smooth, but I don't think any change of the magnitude that we made could be smooth. I think that the decisions were arrived at over a period of time, very carefully and very thoughtfully. I think that in terms of communicating with our audiences, we probably did 85% right. If we were to do it again, I think there's, you know, maybe 15% of it that I would do differently. Any change on a broadcast station, what you're going to hear are the complaints, as opposed to people telling you they like the new service because they don't know the new service yet. And so we're in the period where we have heard some positive feedback, but we're probably getting more negative feedback still than positive. But over time, I think that we're going to have new audiences come to us that, in balance, will be appreciative and perhaps larger than some of the people we've lost as a result of the changes. Does that answer?
The call rang off, so okay. Hopefully that does get it. I don't know, Jay, you...
Well, I would just echo what Mark says. They were tough decisions. Would we have made those decisions were we not under the financial gun? Some of them probably made sense. Others were tougher. But the bottom line is that we're paying the bills and we're on the air.
All right.
So.
Very well. Let's go to Muhammad then, line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have to say that I totally rely on your weather reporting, and I know you had to get rid of your own weather department for many reasons, but please keep up the weather coverage, because that guy that just called, he should get himself one of those weather radios. I got myself one, and it's unplugged, because it is the most annoying thing. They wake you up every time somebody in Illinois has a child taken by the non-custodial parent, and they just
the Amber
keep
Alerts.
Repeating it, the alarm, all night long. And it's just unbearable. You can't sleep with it. I can't even stand to have it on during the day.
Well, it does give you the alert. I'm not... Yeah, I mean, you know, I have one, obviously, and I also get alerts on my cell phone and many other ways. But
you illustrate the balance that we have to strike between, you know, different listeners' expectations for us. And you can be assured that I think that weather remains an important part of our service.
Yeah, I think the public service aspect of it, yeah, as you point out, not everybody gets everything the same way, and people rely on us for different things, and weather is one of them. And as long as we have the ability to relay important information in that way, we'll do it. And we do have a commitment to it. It's here.
Right. Is it on the weather radio? Is there a way to program it so that it won't pick up the amber alert?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the amber alerts. No.
I know that you can get one. You can program it so that it's only for your
and
county.
Specific warnings. Right. It's the same system, yeah. I can't speak about the amber alerts. I do not know if that's program. If you can take that off.
Okay. So. I don't know. Maybe somebody out there knows.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue. We'll talk next with someone in Urbana, and this would be line number 3. Hello.
Hi. I could not disagree more with that caller who called in complaining about the frequency of the weather information. I think that's really essential. I mean, sometimes you listen to the radio and you step outside and you're off looking out the window to see what the weather's happening, and by the time you get back to the radio, you've missed the alert if they just happen, say, once every half hour or something like that. So please keep up the. I think the frequency last night was very good.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that on to Tom Rogers. He spent the night here and on the proverbial severe weather cot. Actually, I think he was up doing the alerts, though. When it is a hard balance, I am totally sympathetic and completely understand when you lose the thread of a conversation, and that's one of the things we're trying to do. We have made some changes in the frequency or the timing of when we do interrupt, and we're trying as hard as we can to stick to what they call the natural breaks in programs, or the breaks that would, you know, come some programs roughly at 18 past the hour. You know, they do a break for underwriting and promotions, and we're trying to use those as much as we can. But of course, you know, in a warning situation, especially with a tornado warning, minutes count big time. So another thing that has increased the number of warnings is the Doppler radar, and I had a discussion with somebody over the past couple of days about this. Now we're forecasting tornado warnings, or we're putting on tornado warnings when they haven't actually sighted a tornado. It's like a thunderstorm has been indicated on Doppler radar that is capable of producing tornadoes, and that is a change from before. They used to just wait until somebody actually physically saw a tornado. Now they're issuing warnings based on indications on radar. Radar has become more sophisticated that we can give minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, advance warning that there is a severe thunderstorm there that is rotating, that has all of the elements that could produce a tornado, and it could at a moment's notice. That's to give you more warning, more heads up. Is that a good thing or not? I don't know.
I think it's really great.
You know, some people say it's crying wolf, but if, you know, the few times out of the year when you really look at it, we've had a lot of severe weather in the past few weeks, but up until the past few weeks, we didn't have much. So if you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 tornado warnings a year out of 365 days, is it too much to just take the precautions? I don't know. You know, I can't decide that for you, but we try to do a balance. We want you to be warned, properly warned, in case something, is going to come your way.
I must say, I don't mind very much when a program like On Point is interrupted. That's really one of the most disappointing things that's happened in the changes. I think it's just another program where you get a lot of people on, where some of them know what they're talking about and others don't, but just a lot of crazy opinions, and there's way too much of that on radio now.
Well, we'll pass that along. Thank you for that comment, too.
All right.
Thank you much.
We'll go next to Eureka, line number 4. Hello.
Thank you. Enjoy most of your programming, but the one big complaint I guess I would have is I think it was a very bad mistake to change 90.9 to news from 6 to 9 and 7 to 9 in the morning. It seems to be it's just sort of a needless duplication of the services you already had, and I think for a good number of people that has sort of been a way to get into the day of listening to quiet music and reflection and not listen to a bunch of news anymore, which you can get anytime you want to on AM 580.
You could get AM if you lived in Champaign-Urbana to the north, south, or east. But to the audience west of Champaign, that signal was not available. Mm-hmm. And that's the area that we have filled in who could not receive that programming prior.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Monticello, you can't get AM 580 anytime. And so that's a community of interest to us to serve with at least the morning edition, All Things Considered. Decatur had problems getting morning edition and All Things Considered. And then, you know, again, as Mark said, before sunrise and after sunset, you can't hear AM 580 in Rantoul. And so that's, you know, that's part of what we tried to do. Now, we have, if you buy an HD radio, a digital radio, HD, you can hear classical music 24 hours, 7 days a week on 90.9 FM HD2. And in Champaign-Urbana, in analog at 101.1 FM. So we've taken some steps to help to make it available.
But so there's I'm out of your range on that. Eureka's out, I'm almost certain that's out of the range.
Yeah, and you're really out of 90.9 FM's range too. So you're supposed to.
No, I can get you most of the time 90.9. So yeah. Anyway, I thought it was. Yeah. I think it would was much better when your service was 90.9 on AM 580. Was new.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the thanks for the comment. Yeah,
but there
again,
the idea has been that what we're trying to do is expand. It actually, you know, we have cut back in some ways, but what we're actually trying to do is expand the service. So we want more people to be able to hear All Things Considered and Morning Edition.
Well, that's right.
But then also to address the, you know, some of those people say, but wait a minute, you know, some people say, I don't want that. I want the classical music. Well, in fact, now what we've done is expanded the service. So if provided you can get 90.9 HD2 or 101.1,
we're trying to use technology to do that. Okay. Trying to use technology to reach as best a balance as we can. And, you know, at the end of the day, Morning Edition is the most listened to morning radio program. It's one of the top three most listened to radio programs in the country. And for significant areas that we serve as a public broadcasting station, to not be able to receive it in our coverage area was something that was disturbing to us. We need to be able to provide that as the public station here. So if we can do that and then use some other technology to help provide the classical music to those who miss that, I personally think that's a pretty good compromise.
Okay, we're at our midpoint here, and our guests in this hour focus, Jay Pierce, he's Director of Created Content for Illinois Public Media. Mark Leonard, he's our General Manager, Director of Broadcasting, and this is a chance for people to call in and ask questions, make comments about the programs that we have on WIL Radio, on TV, and increasingly the web is something that we're using to do programming as well. On all, we're working on all platforms, and whatever questions, comments people have, give us a call. Just again, real quick, the weather has been very active this morning. We expect it could be more so this afternoon. We just want to remind you that there is a severe thunderstorm watch that will be in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And in our severe weather coverage area, Coles and Moultrie counties are included. And then again, there's also that flash flood warning for Macon County that will be in effect until 4:30 this afternoon. Let us talk with some more people who are listening. And next, I believe, would be someone in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that I have been pleasantly surprised at how much weather coverage you've managed to do since the demise of Mike and Ed. And I've noticed that Jim Meadows has been there, Tom Rogers has been there, Celeste Quinn has been there at all hours. So that's much appreciated. Personally, I asked for an HD radio for just this reason, so I could hear AM during thunderstorms about 2 years ago for Christmas. My kids went in on one, but it's been really disappointing, and it's very hard to get the HD station to come in.
What kind do you have? Go ahead and say the brand.
Oh,
maybe I can help you.
Look. Yeah. My daughter found it on the Internet.
It's got an antenna on it?
Yeah, it's a Jensen.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good one.
It's got an antenna that kind of hangs off the side.
Mm-hmm, yeah, go to the store and for $8 buy yourself some rabbit ears like we used to put on TVs.
Oh, I have some.
Plug them onto it. You'll be
really
amazed.
They'll fit. They can just put them on there.
There should be a thing in the back where you can connect an external antenna. It may look like a little coaxial connector, like
yeah,
you plug your cable into the TV.
And yeah, it's
if the rabbit ears have that, just plug it right onto it. If the rabbit ears don't, you can go get a little converter that you can screw the terminals on and then plug it on, and it'll make all the difference in the world. I'm on the first floor interior in an office here at WILL, and I have a set of rabbit ears on my HD radio, and I hear it perfectly.
Okay.
And I'm buried, under all the concrete and everything.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Give that a shot, seriously.
Okay. And I really appreciated the weather warnings last night, but I thought it was kind of excessive with the watches because the watches are not so critical. It seemed to me like I was hearing the watches, interrupting, and I had just heard it 10 minutes before the same watch. How about just doing the watches on the breaks and the warnings, break in for the warnings, because they're more imminent, it's barreling down on you.
Mm-hmm. We repeat the watch when we do a new warning.
That increases
hearing.
The interruption.
Yeah, that could be.
And there were a lot of interruptions,
that's a thought, because you may sit there and go, okay, you got a warning. Well, duh, you probably have a watch. So I'll make that note, and then maybe they could be briefer. But, yeah.
Right, and I really appreciate On Point. I think it's a really good program.
And you like
On Point? I like Talking Heads, but I say. And for the person that said anyone can get a radio, I bought two, and I've never quite figured out how to make them really work for me.
The weather radios?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how to get it so that it actually comes on when you need it and it's not on the rest of the time. So I guess that's my technical inexpertise. But I appreciate, like last night, there was a thunderclap that was just about simultaneous with lightning. It seemed right outside my bedroom window. So I turned on the radio. I thought, WILL will have something. And it was like 12:30 at night. So it's keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'll tell Tom Rogers.
Repeat the watches so much.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. I got that written down. Thank you.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
See?
Okay.
Good information.
Let's go on. Unless there's anything you want to comment on? We'll just keep taking calls. We'll go to next to line number 3, and that would be someone in Urbana. Line 3. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Yay. I have two things. One of them will be a question, and that will be first, and that is I'm really confused as to how it would work out economically to replace Celeste Quinn's show at 1 with Terry Gross, who's also on, as we know, at 7. So that's a question. The other one is that I would, I'm wondering if at some point, what's the fellow's name who, Bob McChesney, if he would like to make up his mind on whether or not he is going to do a call-in show or an interview show. I think he's more naturally an interview type person.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, that's it. Love you guys, as always.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll take the second one because I'm more intimately involved with that. When you hear a pre-recorded show, it means Bob is otherwise engaged at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and he's not available to do a live call-in show, and that happens about 6 or 8 times a year. He's off on a speaking tour, book tour, vacation, normal things that we do in life, and so we will pre-record a show. Occasionally it's because a guest can't give up an hour on Sunday afternoon and we think the guest is so important we want to pre-record it. But normally we try to have the phones open because that's the way we prefer to do talk shows, and that is to give you, our listeners, access to people you wouldn't normally have access to.
Okay.
And the change in Celeste's program was staff reductions that we did in multiple areas, was a support position, a producer on the staff of that program. And Terry Gross's program, we had already paid for, but we're airing in the evening after our AM pattern had changed. So we are airing it at a time where we hope there will be a larger audience for it and help to justify what we do pay for Fresh Air, which is a relatively expensive program. We also are planning on using Celeste in some different ways, both on Focus, as you probably have noticed if you're a regular listener, and on some other special projects for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it doesn't cost anything extra to have Terry on a second time.
No, it does not.
Okay. All right. Next is Charleston, line four. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for the program. I am particularly, I suppose, picking a small bone with you on your HD radio channels. I would have appreciated it to have more knowledge about the difference between just if FM. It's not coterminous. That is, your listening area isn't just because you can hear 90.1 doesn't mean that you can listen mm-hmm. with the consistency and hear with the consistency you can when you try the HD channels. And I've also found out by reading elsewhere that there's a lot more sensitivity to things like trees, tree trunks, right. leaves, things of that sort that don't bother the FM broadcast that do cause problems with HD, and I do have, as a matter of fact, it's a Cambridge Soundworks HD radio that was available as a mm-hmm. Donor gift a couple of years ago that I got and was really anticipating listening to the HD channels, and it just, in the winter time, it seems to have worked out better, as well as I'd expected, but better at any rate, and now apparently because of all the trees leaving out, that it's almost impossible to hear, and I realize that Charleston on an airline map is probably beyond what the consistent range of the HD broadcast is. But again, that's something that I think would be you'd be well advised to be more explicit about, so that people don't buy the HD radios and then find out that they're really intermittent in their ability to receive your broadcast, good as they are, and I love it when I can get it, but frustratingly, I can't get it all that often.
It's been a learning experience in terms of digital propagation on both the FM and the television side, in terms of what are the characteristics of the new signals, and they have been a little disappointing in some areas. What we are finding in both cases is that the quality of the reception and the range of the service area is really highly related to the quality of the antenna. And if you attach, as Jay was saying earlier, a bow tie type of antenna to your HD radio, the reception quality will go up significantly. Now, I don't know whether that will overcome the leaf effect or not.
If I can interrupt you just a moment.
Sure.
The Cambridge Soundworks came with a folded dipole, nice copper wire.
Yep.
And I have that extended as far as it will go. It's vertical along the framing of a window.
Yep.
And the window is on the north side, and even with following those instructions to the best of my ability, it still is marginal, yeah. At least at this time of year. Totally, it is not really dependable.
You may be able to get a better antenna. It's also a function of height. If you can remote your antenna up higher in the room or up in the attic, we've found that people have better reception. Same thing on the television side.
Okay, well, this would also be parts of what I would suggest making. Maybe you have a note on your webpage or something to important information for HD radio.
That's a really good comment,
or something like that, because these things aren't certainly with any radio or TV antenna. It's almost a case of the higher the better,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes practically it's a bit of a difficult thing to do.
We are still learning. The industry is still learning about it. In fact, I just read an article in a engineering trade magazine this morning talking about 1 year after the digital transition, what have we learned, and it's something that we are all dealing with. But I think you have a very good suggestion for us to push out that information as we learn it via on air and via website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, and thanks for trying, and keep trying. Don't give up.
Oh, I will.
One thing that might help you, if you really, are ardent about this, is a TV antenna.
I have two of them.
Do you have an outdoor TV antenna?
Because we live out in a rural area, and when we moved out here.
Do you have one pointed toward
There wasn't anything else, so I put I have two.
Do you have one pointed toward
corner reflectors?
Okay.
Up there, which all I have to do is figure out some way to get a string of cable
right
across a room to get to where the radio or move the radio.
Yeah, I was going to say if you have one pointed toward Channel 3, you'll be pointed toward our tower, and because our FM tower is in Monticello.
Yeah,
The other side of Seymour. Try hooking it up to that.
We are investigating really power help. Increases for both the television and the radio side, so it's a problem that we're taking real seriously.
Okay, not a problem. I keep listening.
Thank you for your input on that.
This is something that maybe people have discovered through trial and error, but at our house, when we first went to HD, we got an HD radio, and we had one place picked out. We wanted it to go in this place.
It didn't work. Of course not.
And then as I started to move it around, I realized, okay, where the antenna placement is very important. And in our house, we've got this T-shaped dipole antenna, and I found out that if I spread it out and I stuck it to the back of a piece of furniture and oriented it in our house, north and south, east and west, north and south, yes. it would pick up the signal. So and of course, then some people would say, well, I don't have that flexibility. I don't exactly know how to do that.
Rabbit ears.
They're awesome. They're eight bucks
at Walmart, Radio Shack, and they work great.
All right. Well, and people should let us know, and if we can help them out, we'll do our best. We have a number of callers here to go, and we have maybe about 12 minutes or so in this part of the show. And let's go next to a caller on line number two, and this is someone in Urbana. Hello.
Yes. What is the maximum range for HD radio?
Well, it depends on a lot of things. Your power level. Part of the issue that we're dealing with right now is that the FCC has allowed radio stations in general to increase their HD power to more closely replicate their analog signal areas. But we're a superpower station in that we're over 100,000 watts. We're the most powerful FM station in the state, and we have to operate under special rules, so we don't get to do that yet. Hopefully, we'll get to do it. The range of a station, of an HD signal, is approximately the same as what they call, and I don't know what you look at to look at coverage areas, but if you go to a place called radio-locator.com on the Internet, radio locator with a hyphen in there, radio-locator.com, you can type in the call letters of a radio station, and you can see its signal area. And if you look on that, you will see a red circle, and that is your 60 dBU coverage area, and that's approximately what you can expect out of an HD signal. That's the easiest way for me to tell you, because the HD coverage maps aren't generally available to the public, but that's that will tell you right there.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, in other words, for our station, it's about 25 miles, something like that.
Fairly limited, then.
Yeah, it is. You can hear the analog signal a lot farther, but the 60 dBU signal is what they call kind of the the 70 dBU signal is called the city grade. That's the smallest circle you'll see, and you should be able to hear it on just about any radio at all. And then the 60 dBU, when you get toward the outside of that, you may have to have an antenna and do some other things, but you can still hear it. When you get outside of that, that's what they call the bonus area, which is you can hear it in a car pretty well, but you probably can't hear it in a building or on a Walkman type of thing. So 60 dBU is what people tend to use, although that's not honestly you can hear it on any radio under any circumstance.
Okay, very good. Well, again, I hope that helps. Let us continue with another caller here, and that would be in Urbana, and that would be line number one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I just want to tell you that my husband and I really appreciate having classical music early morning and late afternoon on 101.1. We were really sorry when you dropped it, but we're glad that you continued it again.
Great.
Or picked it up again or something.
We're getting an awful lot of nice feedback. I think it's several people were responsible for putting that together, but Kate Dobrovolny, the station manager, was the one who really worked through all of the technical details to make that happen. And it's looking at all the services we have and trying to use them to the best benefit of our listening audience. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
We are. Thank you very much.
All right. Very Bye-bye. Good. Let's continue. Let's go to Seattle. This is Sycamore. Sycamore. I'm going to come back to Seattle. This is Sycamore up in the northern part of the state. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah. It's a fascinating discussion, and I wanted to continue the discussion on the range of HD FM. Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, the HD signal, in spite of what they say, that it's in-band on-channel, it really isn't. It's in-band adjacent channel, And the range is a function of what the situation in co-channel interference is on the upper and lower adjacent adjacent channels. So if you've got somebody off, 50 miles or 80 miles to the west of you on the adjacent frequency to which your station operates, they're going to kill the HD signal, at least on one side. And, of course, the same is true on the portion of the signal that's on the other side of you.
Yeah, and conversely, you'll kill their signal in your home area.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
do I have it right?
Yeah, you're Yeah, I mean, that's as easily as you can say it. And you can notice that, too, if you're near a station broadcasting HD and you're listening on an analog radio, just tune one click to the right, and you'll hear this buzzsaw type of thing, and that's the HD signal that you're hearing splattering over onto that part of the channel. And that's an artifact of why they have separations. You know, it gets into a whole science. But, yeah, I mean, you're close. Close enough for us to be able to make it understandable.
This is ask the manager, not ask the engineer.
It's
it's
complex, but yeah. So I mean that's kind of how it works, and so you're limited, and our signal gets to somebody. We're at 90.9, so at 91.1, you get near a 91.1, you're not going to hear our digital signal as well.
It is interesting, though, as we've moved to digital, a lot of the things that were very stable in our industry in terms of analog television, analog radio, we're kind of rediscovering. It's almost beginning to feel a little like ham radio, where we're plotting with pins where people are able to receive us, or where they're beginning to have problems, because we're having to kind of flesh out our understanding of a lot of the artifacts of the new technology. So I think you are right, and it's part of our learning curve.
Well, is it the future the analog, like analog television, will analog FM be shut off?
There's no reason to do that because it doesn't save any spectrum. You're already using that channel space for your digital channels. It's riding along in that carrier, so you're not. It's not like television, where they by getting rid of the analog channels, they could auction off all of that spectrum. I mean, you think about it, the entire FM band sits between channels 6 and 7 on TV. I mean, the whole thing is jammed in there. So,
but the FCC is looking at reclaiming some additional television spectrum.
Space,
the whole idea of spectrum allocation has become a matter of public policy decisions now.
Okay. Well, that's
there's just
true.
Not enough in the digital in radio to mean anything.
Yeah, it was really miserable when both digital and analog were on the air together.
On television, you mean?
It was it made reception of analog terrible, and digital didn't really do all that well either. Once they shut analog off, of course, digital reception became great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyhow, very interesting discussion.
Yeah,
thanks
for the call.
Just I have an email here, and it goes back to the earlier comment that I just asked offhand whether you could program your weather radio not to pick up the Amber Alert.
Right.
Now, we do have heard someone here who says if you purchase a weather radio with the same functionality.
SAME,
that's the one that allows you to program in your county. And can figure out how to program it, listener says you can avoid Amber Alerts and any other unwanted alerts. Person says, I have a Midland radio that displays a light for certain watches warnings, but is programmed for audio alarm for tornadoes. So maybe then that way you can...
I am familiar with the Midland, and it is. The one that I have is programmable. You put in what you want for the counties you want it for, and how you want it to be displayed. It's wonderful.
The avalanche warnings become so annoying.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
And I want to read this, too, and just pretend this is about somebody else for a moment, to the managers. I want to express how much I treasure WYLO's talk shows with David Inge and Celeste Quinn. If WYLO's finances ever improve, I hope the Afternoon Magazine interviews will be restored. For my money, David and Celeste are better interviewers than national hosts Neil Conan, Ira Flatow, Terry Gross, and Tom Ashbrook. I agree with the previous caller who was disappointed with On Point. I much preferred the previous 9-11 lineup. Mr. Ashbrook has a habit of cutting off his callers and orchestrating the calls to fit the points he wants to make rather than have a real community conversation as David and Celeste do.
I agree with those comments
Thank
entirely.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. All right, let's go on back here to some callers, and we will go to Seattle, Washington, right here, line 3. Hello.
Hi.
How's the coffee up there this morning?
Oh, I'm I'm sorry, what?
How's the coffee up there this morning?
Everywhere.
Right. Always good, I'm sure.
Okay.
It really is the city's
sorry.
Coffee. It's funny. I kind of wanted to, you know, sort of make the point the last caller made. We've just been watching the budget at WILL just get hammered for decades. I mean, in little increments in the past couple of years, just brutally. And all of a sudden, you know, people are seeing, like, Ed disappearing. But I'm shocked at how well the station seems to be doing because you guys just hold it together so well. So, A, kudos on that. B, this is just sort of an unthought-out idea, but every so often you hear about ways that people can do something with the change when they use their card. So you got a card and something costs you $10.50. Well, it costs you $11 and the 50 cents goes somewhere. I wondered if anyone has ever considered an idea like that for getting maybe more people to support WILL. I don't know anything about it. I'm sorry, it just popped into my head and I called. So I thought I'd spit it out there.
I've heard it's a rounding up donation.
Yeah.
We'll have to pass it on to our development department. I don't know how we would use it, but that's a nice, fresh idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Well, then one get at least one more caller here. Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Quick question. Jay, your title of Director of Creative Content sounds a little bit like one of those bureaucratic academic gibberish titles.
It's kind of like the monarchy in England. I'm kind of like the Earl of WILL now.
Do you direct everything then?
Mm-hmm. I'm in charge of everything that Mark and Kate aren't. How about
I
that?
See.
No, here, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is, honestly. It's, I kid about it, because it is a new kind of a title that is in the industry. And what it reflects is that we're trying to move toward a way that we can take all of the programming that we create here, focus, the news, television programs that we do here, like Illinois Pioneers and Illinois Gardener, the services that we offer that we produce locally here and put them under one umbrella for this reason. Because now we have AM, we have FM, we have HD, we have television, we have three television channels, we have a robust online service, we have new media, we have social media, and all of this and all of these different programs have applications on these different platforms. And prior to this, we had program directors and managers for the individual platforms. And now what the intent is for me to be the person who can be the traffic cop and look at all of them, look at all the platforms, and try to place things on the proper platforms, like Focus is here and Focus is online. Should we be doing Focus on TV to have a public affairs show on TV? I happen to think so. We have a news channel on television, you know, and so I have to look at all of these different things and say, I am in charge of all of the locally created programming here. And the decisions of how we're going to fund it, how we're going to staff it, and what you're going to hear and see it on.
Well, thank you.
That
explains,
yeah.
You know, just as I said, it sounds like just gibberish kind of stuff.
Well,
and the other question, other comment I would have is I want to thank you, whoever was in charge, for restoring some music to the early morning and the late afternoon hours, as another caller has done. And I just was just amazed by the fact that you took it off in the first place. You know, it just didn't seem to matter that you just negated a whole segment of your audience. But thank you for bringing us back.
Well, thank you for the comment. I'll make sure that she hears that. There were very good reasons to do that in the first place. Technology, rules and regulations would not allow us a year ago to have done, or 6 months ago to have done, what we did now with the 101.1 and the HD2. The FCC has changed the rules to say, yes, you can repeat an HD channel on an analog translator. If you understand what I just said, that's fine. If you don't, then that's fine.
But we couldn't have
made these technical arrangements a year ago or, you know, even 6 months ago. They recently made this possible, and Kate took full advantage of it to move it full speed ahead.
Well, good.
I'm glad that those of us that like music
were able to speak up and make ourselves heard as well.
Okay, and great. I'm happy that you have it.
All right,
okay, thank you.
We're getting close to the end of the program. Jay, you're going
to
do
–
you've got
to
go to another studio. Right, okay. I think we can probably take one more caller, though, and Mark, you're just going to have to deal with this.
All right.
It's okay with you? All right. In Westfield, line two, hello.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
I think you must have a wrong line. I just hung up.
Okay, let's see. Let's put that guy back on hold, and this guy, we get rid of him. And now, how about Westfield line two?
How about me?
Yes, go ahead. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Okay. Since we went to digital TV, I cannot set my antenna and keep it. When I go to bed at night, it'll be set, so I'm bringing in channel 2, channel 3, channel 15, channel 17, channel 23. When I get up the next morning, I'll get one or two of those channels. The rest of them have went off the air, and sometimes I've got to move my rotator box around 5, 6, 7, sometimes halfway around the dial in order to keep bringing them in. I am not impressed with digital TV and the reception we're receiving out here in the country. I'm pretty well centrally located between Champagne's antenna and the Terre Haute station antennas.
So you're right on the probably on the very edge of what all of these transmitters can reach, and that is you're not alone, and it is one of the frustrations of the digital television conversion is that it's an all-or-nothing proposition. You're either receiving it or it's not there at all. And since you're getting multiple stations that are there in the morning and then they aren't the next day or vice versa, the atmospheric conditions change, and it goes from being a perfect signal to being no signal. You may be able to make improvements to your antenna. I'm not sure. It's also a function of height. Meanwhile, we are pursuing an increase in power, an authorization from the FCC that we are filing for right now. We're hoping that that will address some of those areas right now where we have intermittent or marginal coverage. But you know, it's a new territory for everyone, and we're finding that in some cases, what our analog signal used to reach, the digital does not now.
All right. We're at the point. I'm sorry. Got to jump in. We've simply got to finish. Maybe we can get back to these on some of these issues on other days. In the meantime, you have comments on programs. Send us an email. Send us a regular mail. You can call. We'll do our best to respond. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
Mark Leonard, he is General Manager, Illinois Public Media. We just, again, like to remind you that we're coming to the end of our fiscal year. That's June 30th. That's about a week away. Operating costs keep going up. Government funding is always uncertain. And right now, we have about $214,000 that we still need to raise. What you will hear on WILL in the coming year depends on reaching it. Your online gift at willpledge.org will help get us there. And we thank you very much.